What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On a, I think it's kind of a hot and sticky Monday, isn't it? It wasn't the worst weekend yesterday. A lot of rain, and we're kind of back to summer just a little bit. I don't know if this qualifies today. Fred, you got to tell me, does this qualify for today or not?
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Let's ask Sue. She just walked in from outside.
Maybe not that bad, but it's still kind of sticky. You know, we had I thought last week was wonderful for summer in St. Louis. Sue, can you report back to whether it's so damn hot or if it's just summer?
It's
yeah.
I don't have my headphones on, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that the Anchorman clip played.
Yes.
Is that what we played?
Yes, congratulations,
educated
Ethan.
Guess. Okay.
That's a very good educated guess. Let me check. This is my favorite thing to do. And I think I had to add it to my weather app, too.
Dew point?
The dew point, yeah. We're sitting at 69 for the dew point. That's not that bad. That's not that uncomfortable. Sue, I have a gift for you this afternoon as we get started.
I love a gift.
Here,
it's your own pant.
It's Calphalon.
That's a letdown.
She got really excited.
Sorry about that. I should have wrapped it. Maybe that would have made it better. Well, the reason is because Sue, in her kindness, she gifted not only me but the show. Actually, quite candidly, by the time I took some, there was none left. But there were some scrapings at the bottom of this Calphalon pan
where you made
a peach cobbler for us, right? I can't say for me because again, it wasn't really. I didn't get a lot of it, but it was for us. And I was trying to, Ethan, you kind of witnessed this on Friday. I was trying to take a fork and just take
a plastic spoon.
Yeah, it was a spoon, right? Just to take a certain amount of the cobbler out to take it home. And then I'm like, well, screw that. I'm just going to take the pan home.
Yeah.
And I texted Sue on Saturday night. Thankfully, by the way, we got out of the building because by the time Sue and I both took the corner, Fred, did you experience that? There was like 8 cars deep to try to get out of the building the other day.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, I don't know what happened. But it's always a situation where whenever that happens, the guy that comes around the corner to kind of solve it, he's never in a big hurry.
No, he isn't.
He's chatting it up with everyone.
And it's Friday.
Like,
we're done.
But I had texted you on Friday night, and I was complimenting the cobbler.
Yes.
And I don't know what makes a cobbler a cobbler outside of a peach pie, but what I said was, I think I might favor the cobbler. It was really, really really good. Now, what I did is I just had to dig in there with the fork and scrape it off the sides and then soak it the entire weekend in order to get the damn pan clean.
Oh, that's 100%
accurate. I literally probably scraped it 3 or 4 times with Dawn, you know, as it soaked. And then I finally put it in the dishwasher, and I could return it to you clean. So
well,
I almost didn't give it back to you.
Yeah,
because
I understand.
It was not in the proper condition, if you will. How was your weekend, though? Everybody have a good weekend?
It was good.
Yeah,
busy. Good.
What happened? Did something happen? Oh, it was the moonlight ramble through my neighborhood, the bike ride. So they were closing down roads at 10 o'clock at night. I thought, what the? And then I saw Steve Butts post the next day that he was in it.
Oh, you know, I've never done that. Have you ever done that?
No, because it starts late, and I have to get up so early, I think that's going to screw me up.
That's not the one where you're naked, is it?
No, that's the other one, the naked bike
Steve
ride.
Steve Butts was in there?
in the naked one.
We can create some rumors there.
He'll kill me.
So we have a lot of stuff coming up today on the show. Trump has decided to federalize Washington, D.C. in an effort to get a hold of crime. We're going to cover that. We have Josh Hammer, who, of course, is the host of the Josh Hammer Show, coming up. Nick Schorr is going to attempt to explain how Missouri is going to do the same thing Texas is trying to do with redrawing the congressional map. I had an extensive conversation with Nick last week about this, and I still don't get it. So we're going to see what he has to say, and we'll get to that. This is I don't want to get into all the Trump stuff with D.C., except for this. And Fred, I thank you for pulling this particular soundbite because it was my favorite. So one of the things, and I can pull this up from Truth Social because I actually screen captured it. So yesterday on Truth Social, Trump goes out there and he says, we're going to have this press conference on crime and beautification. All right, you put that in quotes. Will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. That was this morning. It will not only involve ending crime, murder, and death in our nation's capital, but will be about cleanliness and general physical renovation and the condition of our once beautiful and well-maintained capital. I kind of like that because now you've been to D.C. more recently than I have, so I can't really speak directly to the issue of the cleanliness, but there's a lot of graffiti, there's a lot of homeless people, there's a lot of crime. I mean, unfortunately, I feel like St. Louis is a bit of a microcosm of this, and there was reaction from the mayor, Muriel Bowser, saying, okay, well, crime did spike, and now it's back down. That's all this other stuff. But I do like the fact that, you know, he's talking about spending some money on beautification and aesthetics because we should be proud of the nation's capital. So, you know, when he went out there with that moment with Jay Powell with the construction hats from last week, or maybe that was a couple of weeks ago, it was like Jay Powell's Michael Dukakis moment, if you will. You know, they're talking about all this money, $3.1 billion on fixing up the building like the Federal Reserve. And, you know, Trump's point at the time and then in the post yesterday, he said that could be done in a far, far more elegant and time-sensitive manner for a lot less money. So he's kind of talking about, you know, spending money here, spending money there, trying to improve the aesthetics. Now, this came up. This is where my favorite soundbite comes into play.
You're building the big, beautiful ballroom.
Yeah.
Could we build a big, beautiful briefing room?
Yes.
Technology.
Yes.
No. More seats.
I don't want to do that. I don't want you to be comfortable. I don't want to make life comfortable.
I love that for the media people. No, I don't think so. I don't know that room's changed a whole lot over the years. But yeah, why would you want to give them comfy chairs and couches and stuff like that? I don't think that would be something that Trump would do. So I think the money's going to be spent elsewhere. We have, you know, I mentioned Josh is coming up here, and he has a show that airs on Saturdays here on 97.1 FM Talk. Have you guys talked about Jennings and the show? Have you kind of broken that news to the audience or not?
No.
I don't think so.
We're leaving it up to you.
So the word, when I was on this little stint that I was away from the show here the last few weeks, word came down that Scott Jennings was getting his, of CNN fame and Mark Reardon show fame, let's just
lay it out here.
He was here first, and we've had him for a long time before he blew up last summer. But he's doing a one-hour radio show on the Salem Broadcasting Network. And we have decided to pick up that show starting on the 25th. So it would be 2 weeks from today.
That's going to air.
I was told when it's going to air. I think it's going to air at 8 o'clock after Jimmy Fallon's show. So he'll have Scott's response to me was, well, that means you need to spend at least an hour on your show promoting my show. I think at least is the number that I would say. But that's kind of cool, and it's very exciting for him as a guy who kind of started with Radio Roots. And I always give credit to Fred because, look, we locked down some of the greatest guests that
100%
are out there on a regular
go,
basis.
Fred.
But Jennings has this, you know, he's got this gravitas now that is really, I think, I would say it's unparalleled with the media, because so many people on the left have hated him. And there was even some stuff from last week. I didn't get to it on Friday where, who was it?
Dean Cain.
Yeah. No, I know Dean Cain was praising Jennings, but there was somebody else that had come out, and damn it, I had this in my show prep for Friday, never got to it. But they were essentially criticizing CNN for putting someone on the air like Jennings, they were specifically talking about Jennings, to offer a different perspective on the news of the day. And the person making that case, man, who was it? It wasn't Carville. It was someone else in the punditry world was saying, well, this is not the time for that, right? We shouldn't be doing things like that because, well, you know what? Democracy's on the line,
of course.
So it's just silliness, and he has not only an alternative opinion, but he's going to get some great guests, and that show is going to air here on 97.1 FM Talk every weeknight at 8 p.m. And
wow,
we'll promote the heck out of it, and we'll have Scott tomorrow, Fred.
Right.
He's going to be on. You know, this kind of makes me remember there was a letter that I saw last week. Hang on. Oh, yeah. And then here's something else. This is so funny. I've never in like 30 years probably picked up the National Enquirer, but our friend Jeannie Sullivan of Pet Supplies Plus fame gets the National Enquirer, and
where
sure
have
enough,
the aliens landed?
No, it's all about Jennings. Like, here's the latest one. Anderson set to fly the coop, and it says Caddy Anderson Cooper has 1 foot out the door at CNN, according to sources who tell the National Enquirer that the egotistical newsman's anticipated exit has staffers fearing an all-out firestorm. Everyone's bracing for Anderson because an almighty stink when he goes. Anderson to cause an almighty stink when he goes. Sources say, and they get into the ratings here, and that he's bitter and he's ready to bail on his home. He's furious and he's fed up. He used to be CNN's golden boy, but these days he feels like a ghost in the building. As the Enquirer reported last year, a spy said the silver-haired hotshot, who pulls in, you know how much he makes a year, by the way?
Okay, all right.
Take a guess.
$10 million.
$18 million. $18 million a year. The story says he had an epic meltdown upon learning he was bypassed as moderator of the debate in favor of Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. He's also, this is the part where it gets interesting, and this wasn't even the letter that I was going to share because Jeannie just kind of reminded me of the National Enquirer. It says, according to the insider, diehard liberal Cooper is also in a snit over conservative loudmouth Scott Jennings, 47, becoming a ratings magnet for CNN Newsnight. Anderson can't stand it. Scott's allowed to rant and rave while the rest of them are muzzled. It's infuriating for him to see producers building the entire show around Jennings while he's pushed to the side. People tune in to see what outrageous things Scott Jennings will say next, and the execs love it. Anderson is appalled that they're pandering for viewers this way. But they also talk about how his viewership, you know, Anderson Cooper's is way down.
So I was going to say, what are his ratings?
They're not very good.
Yeah, I like how they use the word outrageous.
And pandering.
I don't think he says anything outrageous.
It's of course, anything that he says is outrageous. Here's the flip side. The flip side of that is what the other guests say is really outrageous, and he calls them out. But whoever it was I was thinking about was making this strong case that, well, you should not have any opportunity to offer an alternative opinion on CNN because that's not the moment we're in. We're here to protect democracy. Democracy was mentioned a lot today by Mom Donnie. He's doing this Five Boroughs tour in New York, starting in Manhattan, about all this anti-Trump stuff. It was also mentioned in connection with D.C., and taking over, you know, control of the police department. So we're going to get to all that. We have Josh Hammer coming up first. Nick Schorr, as I mentioned, Paul Morrow will have some thoughts about the New York situation in the next hour. There's this rumor, and I don't know if we can confirm it, but somebody sent me some tweets that, and again, we're vetting this, and Michelle Tafoya is going to come up, that there are NFL teams out there that will have men as cheerleaders, including the Minnesota Vikings. So in other words, there will be some teams that have biological males as female cheerleaders.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. No, it's not
wait,
like, see what
we
you
have
thought.
Male
right,
cheerleaders.
We do.
That's the thing.
What you thought was exactly, yeah, if you go to the universities like Missouri has male cheerleaders. No, that's not what they're talking about. Now, I will say that we got to vet that a little bit. I'm not completely sure because I want to make sure. There were some things out there. Look, there's a lot of stuff that comes out there, and it's just simply not true. We had, my wife's aunt came over for dinner last night, and she goes, I heard The View was canceled. I'm like, I don't think so. Well, but there's this thing. Here's the thing. And I wasn't trying to make her feel bad or anything, but if you go on Facebook or some of the other socials, that stuff gets out there.
Oh,
I remember
I see.
Seeing one that says, The View is canceled. Then people start weighing in and saying, well, it's about time. I can't believe it. Well, it hasn't been, okay? So don't believe everything that you see on Facebook. Josh Hammer's coming up.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Next. Now, this was a little new information last week, but Sue, and I guess I was not included on the gifting. There was a listener who sent some blankets because it's so damn cold in this studio. You have your nice pink blanket on this afternoon.
There's one for you, too.
Is that one supposed to be for me, even though it's pink?
Well, there's two, okay. And I assumed one was for you.
Oh, okay.
One was for me.
Maybe I'm being a little bit too focused on the color of the blanket. I'm comfortable with wearing pink when it's 66 degrees in the studio. Hey, Josh Hammer is back with us this afternoon. You hear his show every Saturday, 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. There's my blanket. Thank you very much. I'm man enough to wear pink when it's this cold. I will tell you that. Josh, how are you this afternoon? Are you man enough to wear pink?
Marcus, great to talk to my friends. And yes, for the record, I do have some pink in my wardrobe.
See, there you go. There's nothing wrong with that. Sue just kind of draped this over my shoulders. Hey, I got a lot I want to ask you, but I loved your column that you wrote about the 80th anniversary of the decision to drop the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I guess those anniversaries technically took place last week, right? August 6th and 9th. And there's always discussion about the morality of that. But Josh, you made a great case about why that was so important. So congratulations on that. You want to kind of outline that just a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it. So look, this is inherently not the warmest topic to talk about, right? Because we are talking here about mass casualty events. We're talking here about a lot of people dying, especially in a fairly rapid period here. But the basic defense of President Truman's decision to drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which were August 6th and August 9th, 1945, respectively, is as follows, which is that the United States had already lost at least 100,000 soldiers, sailors, and Marines in the Pacific Theater. Look, Mark, growing up, I think a lot of attention was dedicated to the European theater, and for good reason. I mean, the heroes who stormed the beaches of Normandy and D-Day, the horrors of the Holocaust, the Eastern Front with the Soviets. I mean, there was an incredible amount of horrors and drama and all of that in Europe. But I find that the Pacific Theater tends to get under-discussed and underappreciated. And Imperial Japan, look, God bless Japan today. Japan has emerged as a major deterrent against a hegemonic Chinese Communist Party, and they're a useful American ally today. But back then, in the 1930s, 1940s, Imperial Japan was about as barbaric and genocidal a society as Nazi Germany.
Absolutely.
They were just as bad, if not worse. And we had American, our young men who were dying on the beaches of Iwo Jima, Okinawa. The Japanese were employing all sorts of just horrific tactics, the kamikaze pilots. And when push came to shove and we were finally figuring out how can we get this culture that is so steeped in chauvinism and fight to the death and this kamikaze ethos, how can we possibly get them to make like the Nazi Germans a few months prior and surrender to the Allies? There were basically two options. One was what Truman did, which is drop these bombs to try to force a quick surrender. The alternative was referred to by military planners as Operation Downfall. It was a full-scale land invasion of Japan. The casualty estimates would have been utterly catastrophic. You're talking over a million casualties for American soldiers, sailors, and Marines, to say nothing of a well over a million deaths for the Japanese themselves. So for all the debate over the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we're talking here about roughly 200,000 to 250,000 deaths, somewhere in that range there, it actually was all but assuredly the more humane course of action. And that's also missing the forest for the trees a little bit to the most simple and basic question that I have when I approach an analysis like this, Mark, which is, from an American perspective, I'm sorry, but Pearl Harbor was a thing that happened. I mean, the Japanese started this war, and the President of the United States, as the Commander-in-Chief, has a responsibility to protect and secure his people and his country there. So I think that the argument against Hiroshima and Nagasaki ultimately falls prey to somewhat of a relativism and a globalism, whereby we're supposed to abstractly pretend that Japanese lives and American lives are all the same. But that's not how it works when you're the Commander-in-Chief controlling the nuclear football. So I think it was the right decision.
I'm always curious to be, you know, and I'm going to learn this with my daughter who's 10, you know, getting into fifth grade now and beyond, how this stuff is taught in schools. And one of the things that you pointed out in your column is, you know, a lot of the judgment of that decision, you know, has mostly come from the left. But you cited a quote in which Tucker Carlson claimed that the weapons were created by demonic forces and asserted that the U.S. was evil for dropping those bombs on Japan. So it's not just from one political side of the spectrum. I was unaware of that. I don't know if Tucker's thinking about the whole breadth of history there, which I think you have, Josh.
Yeah, Tucker said this. I'm trying to remember what he said. I think it was last year in 2024. Now, look, I have a lot of criticisms of Tucker Carlson these days. I mean, just today, his latest episode, I saw just yet another viciously, viciously anti-Israel, anti-Semitic guest. He seems to be increasingly just deeply obsessed with the question of the Jews and the Jewish state, which I find just horrifying, frankly. So I have a lot of issues with Tucker these days. Now, there are some folks, Mark, if we're giving the benefit of the doubt, the folks who have made this argument historically over the years are not always folks who have gone down Tucker's unfortunate rabbit hole. There are a lot of good faith, a lot of Catholic intellectuals who cite Thomas Aquinas' thoughts on just war theory, things like that. I just respectfully disagree. And I disagree because I genuinely do think, as someone who is as staunchly pro-life as anyone, that this actually was, even though it doesn't seem like in the moment, it actually genuinely is the more humane course of action. And again, because I'm an American nationalist, and I firmly do believe that you have to look after American lives more than any other. But yes, it is definitely concerning to see folks on the right who frankly these days sometimes sound a lot more like Noam Chomsky than anything else.
Josh Hammer with us. You were in Israel not too long ago when things were really heating up. You have this announcement that Israel plans to capture Gaza City, and there's been reaction to that. Where are we in all of this right now? Where do you think this has taken us? I know that Bibi sat down for an interview last week. You got Trump and Putin meeting this week. So there's a lot of things happening on the foreign stage. But when it comes to Israel and Gaza in particular, are there plans that are outlined that are realistic to you?
Well, we still need to see some of the details. From my vantage point, Mark, this is the kind of thing that Netanyahu should have announced ideally a year or year and a half ago. I mean, if you want to be more charitable, then the natural response would be, okay, well, that was President Joe Biden. It wasn't going to fly then. And okay, I understand that to an extent. I still think that after something like October 7th happens, Israel probably should have just put on its tunnel vision and just did what it had to do, no matter who the occupant of the White House of its closest ally was. But at a bare minimum, this thing should have happened in January or February. The basic morality, justice, and correctness of Israel's war, from my vantage point, is fairly straightforward. But they're fighting a losing battle in the PR front, and the longer this goes on, the worse and worse that gets. It becomes something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, if this is really actually the moment when Netanyahu and the IDF finally say enough is enough, we actually are going to go in there and just hunt down the remaining Hamas battalions there, then I say Godspeed and go for it. I'm just a little frustrated as a staunch supporter of U.S.'s relations that this hasn't happened already. Trump has basically intimated, he's all but said, Bibi, do this, just do this already there, because Trump understands what I just said, which is that the longer this goes on, the more Israel loses the PR battle. Trump just wants to rip the Band-Aid off and just get it done with here. So I think it's the right move. It's just more than a little too late, to be honest with you. But Israel has to do it, Mark, for the very simple reason that they said at the outset that they were going to eradicate Hamas, and unless and until they do that, they will have lost the war on their own terms.
Josh, I don't know if you heard about this, but last week we had a situation where there was an American who served in the Israeli army in Clayton, which is a suburb of St. Louis, just a little west of where I'm sitting right now, and two cars were burned. They wrote death to the IDF in the middle of the street. It hasn't gotten a ton of coverage. I think Fox did cover it last week. I don't know if you saw it, but man, some of this stuff is hitting, you know, real close to home again. Just when you think maybe you're past some of the anti-Semitism, it rears its ugly head. And that one seemed to be pretty organized when you're, you know, burning two cars up in front of somebody's house.
So I did see the story. It pains me deeply. Mark, I feel like you and I probably discussed this either on air or off air, but my great-great-grandparents, my mother's side, actually immigrated to St. Louis from Lithuania way back in the day. We're talking here around the turn of the 20th century, late 1800s, because apparently back in Lithuania, my great-great-grandfather was told that if you want to find a Jewish minyan, a group of 10 Jewish men to form a group to pray together, that then you go to St. Louis, Missouri to find that. So So I saw this story and just, you know, that's what I thought about. It's just how horrifying this is, and it's just awful. It's just absolutely, absolutely awful stuff. Unfortunately, this hatred is all around us. You know, Mark, I was in D.C., in May, I was doing a few talks related to my book, Israel and Civilization, and I was giving a keynote talk for a group called the Middle East Forum, the think tank run by Daniel Pipes for the past 30 years or so. And I flew out of D.C. on Tuesday, and it was the day after that Wednesday that there was that horrific double murder of the Israeli embassy staffers. And I only learned after the fact that the man who, I'm blanking on his name, unfortunately, but the one who was tragically murdered there that evening was actually in attendance at my talk two nights prior, yeah. Which is just one of those terribly small world
Absolutely.
Things. It's all around us, and it's just awful.
Josh, always great to hook up with you. Hope you're having a good Monday. We'll have you back soon. We'll hear your show on Saturdays at 1 on 97.1 FM Talk. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, take care.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
At the end of this week, this current 30-day special session will be gaveled out, and the nanosecond after that happens, I'm going to be calling another special session, and we're going to be making sure that any Democrat who surfaces in the state of Texas in that intervening time is going to be apprehended by the Texas Department of Public Safety and taken to the Texas Capitol and held there to make sure that we are able to meet quorum.
Yeah, that is the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. But we have some things going on relating to the same issue here in Missouri. And I made a call last week. I was mentioning this earlier to State Senator Nick Schor. He's a friend. He's a regular on the show. He's a regular on the Reardon Roundtable. And he is kind of one of the point people on what Missouri might do here with its congressional map. Even after that long conversation, I was still a little confused. But, you know, I'm easily confused, Nick. How are you this afternoon? Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, I am good. Just getting ready for the girls to go back to school and maybe for us to go back into session like Texas has done.
Yeah, so, you know, I have mixed feelings from this perspective. I understand, and I want you to kind of explain what the goal is here. There is a part of me, just as a regular voter, that says, wait a second, are we redrawing legislative, you know, congressional lines every couple of years? I thought this was only supposed to happen every 10 years with the census. But then you kind of start to look at what these other states have done when they've had the power, like Illinois have certainly jumps out at you from the get-go, and then you have... I don't know if you saw over the weekend, J.B. Pritzker on Meet the Press.
Every major group that grades the fairness of congressional maps gives your state an F. Common Cause, a nonpartisan government watchdog, even says your map, and I'm going to quote, represents a nearly perfect model for everything that can go wrong with redistricting. And I guess the question is, you talk about preserving democracy. How do you preserve democracy if you're using the same tactics that you've criticized Texas Republicans for?
But as I say, what they're talking about is a distraction.
Okay. The reality. Yeah, he doesn't answer the question, but I wanted to play the question because I give Kristen Welker, the host of Meet the Press, some credit for calling, you know, him out in that moment. And you can look at that, I think it's the 13th District in Illinois, and it cuts from all the way from East St. Louis up through, Champaign. It's a very weird, weird district. So the goal has been to make those less competitive for, for Republicans and conservatives. So having said all that, I want to let you do some talking here. What are you trying to accomplish here? And obviously, there's a little history lesson of what happened last year that's involved here as well with the congressional maps.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is what I tried to do back in 2022. This is 2 years after we got the census numbers. So for everybody that's out there saying, well, wait a second, a little time's gone by. You guys are just estimating based upon the census. Well, that's what we did in 2022. We drew these districts up. And when we drew these districts up, I heard from the people on radio, on emails, on phone calls that they wanted us, being right next to Illinois, seeing what states like New York has done, Maryland has done, even California. It's not as bad as Illinois. I think Illinois takes the cake, not just because of J.B. Pritzker and how large he is. I think he gets whatever he wants. But it's just gotten so bad that I think the people are fed up and they're saying, look, if we're not utilizing the same playbook and doing the same exact thing that Democrats are able to do, then it's negligence, so to speak. So I want us to go back to what we tried to do back in 2022 and draw districts that are best going to send individuals with Missouri values, not get a surefire win for the Republicans, not a surefire win for the Democrats, but just make a competitive seat. And that's what only as of right now we don't have on the Kansas side. But other than that, if we're going back into a special session, let's get the most bang for the buck. And something that you and I spoke about on the phone the other day, we've been talking about for a very long time, is how easy people like J.B. Pritzker or Michael Bloomberg, who just on Amendment 3 last year, put a ton of money into it. Even a billionaire in Switzerland is able to change our constitution with a couple million dollars. We need to fix our initiative petition process by protecting the integrity of the constitution while still allowing for the people to have a shot at changing statutory measures.
So that's been my favorite topic over the last couple of years, because when people hear IP reform, they think internet protocol, and I think most of the listeners don't really get what you're trying to do here. So explain a little bit here what initiative petition reform could potentially look like, because there are several different models to kind of fix what might be going wrong in that process. And by the way, I always have to say I've long been a critic. I mean, you can go back to the 1980s when I was a critic of this initiative petition process here in Missouri, because it is too easy to change the Constitution.
It's sickening. You got 50 plus one. So 50% plus one. So if you have only, 11 people that show up to vote on that day on a very important issue, whether it's tax reform, school choice, you name it, or even abortion on demand, like we saw with Amendment 3, it's just going to take 50% of who shows up plus one. So initiative petition reform, before I got in the legislature, when anybody talked about IP reform, I'm thinking intellectual property reform.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Man, I didn't know we needed to reform it in our state. But initiative petition reform is the ability for groups. Right now, it's these well-funded groups. It's not citizen-led groups. Well-funded groups that are formed out of the state of Missouri can come into our state, stand in front of grocery stores, taco stands, in the public library, and ask you, hey, how do you feel about X? Can you sign a petition to put whatever this is on the ballot? And I had so many people back when Clean Missouri was passed. There was no mention of the redistricting and giving that to the only statewide Democrat at the time. And similarly with Amendment 3, I had several people contacting me saying, hey, I even asked specifically, is this the one on abortion? They said this has nothing to do with abortion. It's just on women's health care and making sure that if they have an ectopic pregnancy, they can get coverage here in the state of Missouri. So, number one, it's easy to lie
confusing.
To the people.
Yeah, it gets confusing.
It's very confusing. Right. So we need to protect the Constitution that, as of right now, you and I have been very friendly with legalizing medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. But does it need to be in our Constitution? Does Bingo the Game need to be in the Constitution? I say no.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, because, look, even though I voted for the marijuana thing, I was critical of the way that it was, too lengthy and jumbled up. And again, it gets confusing for the voters. So to try to simplify this a little bit, a lot of this is coming from, maybe not on the IP reform, but certainly on the congressional lines, is coming from the Trump administration. The reality of what's going to happen here in the next few weeks, and don't lose people because they hear special session and extraordinary session, but the governor, Mike Kehoe, is likely to call you guys back into session, right?
I think so. And I think working with the Trump administration, something we didn't have previously, we had a governor, whether you loved him or not, Mike Parson was not very vocal on controversial issues or on any issue, really. And the leadership at the time in the House and the Senate, they were very silent on this. And they didn't want to upset the apple cart like we saw how the Democrats were doing. This is not breaking the rules. This is simply utilizing the rules and utilizing the Constitution like others are boldly doing in other states. So Governor Kehoe has said, yes, we need to secure our congressional representation for the next couple of years until the next census. I am with him on that. I hope he calls a special session to bring us back. But again, that's a congressional issue. As a 10th Amendment guy, we need to protect our state's rights. We need to protect our state constitution as well. And that's why myself and the Freedom Caucus, we're pushing to expand that to deal more so with elections here at the state level and initiative petition reform as well.
But if you get these lines, you know, go through the process of what would happen as far as redrawing the lines. They still have to face the courts, right? There's going to be lawsuits. They have to face constitutional muster. Whenever you rewrite these things, nobody ever knows if they're going to hold because a judge could come in and say, wait, we can't do it that way.
Yeah, and the United States Supreme Court after, I think it was New York, redrew theirs here recently after a census, and they did it to screw Republicans and get rid of Republican representation going to D.C. From New York. The Supreme Court made it clear that gerrymandering, which all states basically do unless it is banned in your constitution, Republican states and Democrat states can be accused of gerrymandering. But in order for them to step in on it, they said, well, we can't because it's a state political issue that is not going to give rise to have the Supreme Court act on a federal basis on it. So it is going to be challenged, and that's what we have to be ready for. And that's why I think we have a darn good shot. I still believe we should have done this back in 2022. And we have to make maps that are going to satisfy all of the different laws on redistricting. It can be done. We've seen states like Tennessee that, you know, the clip that you just played, they're discussing. There's a lot of watchdog groups that are out there. Go to Princeton or gerrymandering.princeton.edu. It's a big database by Princeton. It's not a conservative organization. It's friggin' Princeton. And they're even saying how, yeah, the way that Missouri has done it, we get an A+. Illinois gets an F. And the same people that are griping about, well, we're going to gerrymander, we're going to take away the voice of democracy, they've been silent on Illinois, they've been saying we're gerrymandering in the state of Missouri, even back in 2022. So look, let's do what the people want and send some strong representation to D.C. We got to do it this way.
We have right now explained the districts and how they're cut up. So the goal here, and this is the argument from a couple of years ago, is you want to make a map that could potentially give Republicans 7 seats in Missouri and a Democrat 1. And that would be the one from right here in this particular area.
Yeah. So that's the former Cori Bush. When we did this back in 2022, the Voting Rights Act, a federal prohibition on cutting up some of these historic minority seats. And that's what they're labeling the city of St. Louis district. However, there is a push right now to have the Supreme Court revisit that. I don't think that's going to be heard in time for us to draw a district that gives Missouri an 8-0 map, like some of these Democrat states have done. And just quite quickly, I guess you could say, go look at the Voting Rights Act, type in St. Louis, and you can see all of the different court challenges on that. That's why the strongest that we could have is possibly a 7-1 map where you have 7 Republicans that are able to win. And again, all of the different political pundits that are out there saying that we're just taking the voice of the Democrats away. No, these seats, like the Ann Wagner seat or the Cleaver seat,
could be competitive.
The Cleaver seat, 100%. So it depends upon the candidate, and the people will speak, and the people spoke back in 2022 saying we have to do this. Like Tennessee has done it, like other states have done it. Republicans are just sitting on their hands while Democrats continue to win.
All right, Nick, we'll keep you posted. I know there's a lot that could happen here in the next few weeks, so keep us posted on it. All right.
Sounds good.
Take care. Have a great week. State Senator Nick Schroer. You know, Sue, Josh Hammer mentioned earlier this afternoon about kids going back to school, and you just asked me during the break, when does Alexa go back? I cannot wait. It's a week from today. It has been a long summer with camps, and I know there's a lot of parents out there that cannot wait. It's stressful. It really is, especially when a camp is, you know, in the morning from like 9 a.m. to 10:30 or something like that. I have the flexibility of, you know, covering some of the mornings. My wife has been a rock star trying to get all this. Like, she's got some soccer practice that starts tonight. I leave the show. I'm down to one car right now. My car's in the shop, so I have to pick up the puppy. Then I have to go to the soccer practice.
Oh my gosh.
It's all very confusing. It's all very stressful, but school starts 1 week from today. And you know what? My daughter's excited about it. She really
good.
Is.
Good. Yeah, she's in a great age.
Fifth grade. I cannot believe it. I will tell, and I teased this a little bit on Friday, and I know that I sent you a text a couple of weeks ago, but there was an incident in which I felt like I might have been about to be arrested that occurred in the last couple of weeks. There's an explanation for all of this. Okay, it wasn't like a black helicopter landed in my backyard.
That's good.
But there's a part of the story where you're going to say, oh, that sounds exactly like something you would have done. And then there's the part of the story that kind of brings it all together, and I'll get to that here before Sue's News. And we do have a Monday edition of Sue's News. Paul Morrow coming up, of course, from the opsdesk.org. We'll talk about Mamdani and the Trump announcement today on the situation with D.C. Just a little bit more audio. Look, I get what Nick says. I'm uncomfortable with the confusion of redrawing congressional lines every couple of years and trying to do things that, at least on the surface, seem to thwart what maybe voters have weighed in on. But on the other hand, some of this stuff gets so ridiculous in these other states. And let me offer you a couple examples. And I'm proud of the mainstream media because I played that cut from Kristen Welker. This is on Fox, mind you, but it's Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, getting called out for their stuff up there.
That's how National Review summarized it. They said it was only 3 years ago that New York's Democratic legislature drew up a map so brazenly contemptuous of basic rules that govern a district's contiguousness that the state's Democrat-dominated Court of Appeals threw it out. The New York Times at the time called those maps comically contorted. That's their quote. So your state's highest court at the time, all the judges appointed by Democratic governors, they threw the maps out. So fair to say Democrats have done what they're now accusing Republicans of doing.
No, we followed the rules. We do it every 10 years.
No.
We base it on census.
But the court said you didn't follow the rules.
Well, we did follow the rules.
So the court was wrong?
Well, we followed the rules.
Yeah, they all have their talking points. And then there's Eric Holder. You know, he used to be the attorney general. Hey, when Mike Brown was the thing, remember Eric Holder was the guy who did the report that said, no, he did not have his hands up and say not shoot. Remember that? But here's what he says. This is kind of funny because this is what they're doing. And I'm the first to admit Republicans talk out of both sides of their mouth sometimes as well. But he criticizes it. Gerrymandering, and then he says, but I kind of got to do it too.
Well, there's no question that gerrymandering is a threat to our democracy. It allows politicians to pick their voters as opposed to citizens choosing their representatives. But we are now in a situation where we find ourselves where authoritarian moves are being made by the White House through various states, Texas, most prominent among them. And there has to be a response to that. What I've said is that we have to protect our democracy now if we ultimately want to be able to save it. And so taking the reasonable steps that have been proposed in California, I think it makes a great deal of sense in this moment, a temporary way in which to respond to that which is happening in Texas, with the thought that after this crisis has passed, we get back to the fight against gerrymandering by anybody.
Okay, so can I, you kind of got that, didn't you? Here's what he said, essentially. Gerrymandering, bad, really, really bad. But you know what? Even though we did it and the Republicans are doing exactly what we did, we got to fight back. We still have to do the gerrymandering, at least in this moment, until we have control. That's basically what he said.
It's complete insanity.
And then there's James Carville. And listen to what he says. And look, there is legitimate fear about this. Let's say, it's not impossible, I think you hear him say this, that the Republicans lose all three chambers in 2028. It could happen, right? You got midterms next year. You don't know. These margins are so narrow, which, by the way, is one of the reasons Trump's trying to do this and put emphasis on Texas and in Missouri. But Carville says this.
Democrats talk about democracy, and you have these people important to democracy and preserving democracy and saving democracy. Well, the truth of the matter is people are right when they say this democracy is really imperfect. And they're going to have to do, if the Democrats win the presidency, the Senate and the House in 2028, which is not impossible. I don't know if you say likely or possible. I don't know what word, you know, but it's certainly not impossible.
I would agree with him, by the way. I mean, you've seen things shift very, very quickly back and forth. It's not impossible. It could happen. So then think about the consequences of that. Here's what he's advocating.
They are just going to have to unilaterally add Puerto Rico to the District of Columbia states. They're going to have to, the Constitution gives Congress power over federal elections. I don't think they can redistrict, but they're going to have to do it.
All right. So did you hear what he said there, though? He said, you're going to have to add Puerto Rico and D.C. as states. And that because they want the numbers. If you add D.C. as a state, I don't know if they would just get one representative. It's 750,000 people. They may get two. I don't know how the numbers work. We can find that out. Puerto Rico, same thing. So then now you have a senator or two senators from the District of Columbia. They're not going to be Republicans. From Puerto Rico, they're not going to be Republicans.
Nope.
So this is where I have to sit back and say, look, you sit on your hands and you don't try to do some of the things that Greg Abbott is trying to achieve in Texas and Nick Schroer and the folks here in Missouri, we may be way on the outside looking in 2028 and beyond. I don't like those ideas at all. But again, the Democrats know that this is in their playbook. And the Republicans are trying to use what's in their playbook right now to do as much shoring up as they possibly can to make sure that democracy does survive and does thrive. All right, my near arrest story coming up after Fox News and before Sue's News, and that's right after 4 o'clock.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.